Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and this Wednesday, November 30th, is the feast of St. Andrew the Apostle and the beginning of the Christmas Novena. The Daughters of Mary Press is advertising a St. Andrew Novena package with chaplet, so please be sure to visit their website at daughtersmarypress.com so that you can see what's for sale during Advent and Christmas season. The Sodality Reception of Medals will be held this Wednesday, November 30th, Feast of St. Andrew, after the 11:15 Mass. Also, Thursday, December 8th, is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, also a Holy Day of Obligation. Masses will be held 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., and each Mass will be followed by the Miraculous Medal Enrollment. St. Pius V School will hold its performance of A Christmas Carol, and the matinee will take place on Saturday, December 17th at 2 p.m., and that's going to be at West Hollow Middle School in Melville. Tickets will be $7 per person. Please call the school office for more information and directions at the hall. Additionally, the doll and Afghan raffles will be drawn at the Christmas performance. Also, we are in need of willing workers who are able to help decorate and clean St. Pius V Chapel for Christmas on Tuesday, December 20th. Decorations will begin at 5 p.m., and there will be a dinner provided for those who are able to make it. All volunteers are greatly appreciated, so please mark your calendars now if you're able to help us out on Tuesday, December 20th, for preparations for Christmas Mass. Also, Friday, upcoming December 2nd, is First Friday, so please be sure to sign up in the vestibule for at least 1 hour of adoration before our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. There are two doors needed at least every hour. And lastly, the day of recollection for the men's day of recollection is canceled until further notice. The epistle appointed to be read for the first Sunday in Advent is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 13. Brethren, knowing the season, that it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is past, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and impurities, not in contention and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 21. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, by reason of the confusion of the roaring of the sea and of the waves, men withering away for fear and expectation of what shall come upon the whole world. For the powers of heaven shall be moved, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And he spoke to them a similitude: "See the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth their fruit, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. "For the powers of heaven shall be moved." Words taken from today's Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, there are, as we know, certain signs that must happen before the end of the world. In fact, there are six principal signs that will precede the second coming of Almighty God, and the judgment. The first sign is that there must be a general preaching of the gospel all over the world. The second sign is that the Jews will be converted. The return of Enoch and Elias will be another sign. The fourth sign will be a great apostasy and the reign of Antichrist. Extraordinary disturbances of nature will be another. Lastly, a universal conflagration will take place. In other words, the end of the world will be brought about by conflagration, a burning, and it will destroy the earth and the atmosphere. St. Thomas Aquinas says that Christ will rebuild and restore the world. But considering the order in which these principal signs will occur, that is unknown. With regards to Enoch and Elias, we know that they are still alive. They have not yet undergone death, the penalty for sin. God is preserving them in order to send them to preach at the end of the world. In the book of Malachi, we read, "Behold, I will send you Elias the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with anathema." And then St. Matthew writes, "Elias indeed shall come and restore all things." Based on the wide belief of the fathers of the church, there is a threefold reason as to the return of Enoch and Elias. They are to announce the second coming, they are to preach penance, and they are to convert the Jews. Now at the end of the world, Enoch and Elias are going to battle Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition. They will be humble men. They will be men who are used to doing penance. And Enoch and Elias will prophesy for a specific amount of time. And sacred scripture actually gives the days that they will go throughout the world preaching penance. 1260 days they will be seen roaming through the earth preaching the faith. And according to the book of Daniel, the persecution under the Antichrist is going to last for 1290 days. So the preaching of Enoch and Elias will be 30 days shorter than the reign of Antichrist. According to a certain author, they will appear in the period when the persecution is unleashed with the greatest violence. That's when it will come forth. And St. John says that if anyone tries to harm them, fire will come out of the mouths of these two witnesses to devour their enemies. Anyone attempting to harm them will surely be slain in this way. St. John goes on, he says, these witnesses have power to close up the sky so that no rain will fall during the time of their mission. He says that they also have power to turn water into blood and to afflict the earth at will with any kind of plague. After Enoch and Elias have converted the Jewish nation and they have fulfilled their 1260 days, then the Antichrist will kill them. Their bodies will lie in the street for 3.5 days. The Antichrist will forbid them to be buried. And when the 3.5 days are completed, and our Lord will, in the sight of everyone to see, raise them from the dead. And then he will take Enoch and Elias, and he will proceed then to take them up into heaven. And then our Lord, with the spirit of his breath, as it says in Scripture, will kill the Antichrist. It is believed by some that St. Michael the Archangel will be the one who destroys the Antichrist and sends him back into the abyss of hell for all eternity. My dear friends, it is not impossible that we will live to see the end of the world. There is the chance. No one can be absolutely sure of when the world will end. There is a certainty, though, and that certainty is that the world will come to an end. That will happen. And that is what we must be prepared for. These are the events St. Luke writes of in today's gospel. And they are events which maybe this morning we have wondered, why would Holy Mother Church give us this gospel today, the gospel explaining the second coming of our Lord at the end of the world, when we are beginning a new liturgical season? We are here first Sunday of Advent to prepare for the coming of our Lord in his first coming. And the reason for this is that in preparing for the first coming of our Lord, we are at the same time preparing for his second coming. They go hand in hand. The term Advent is very appropriate, means coming. And it is on this day, beginning now, that we have to prepare the coming of our Lord. Throughout the next 4 weeks, we are to concentrate on preparing our hearts for Christmas. Everything should revolve around this preparation. Thoughts, actions, words. It has to be our goal. All we can do to prepare our hearts for the coming of our Savior this Christmas. He is going to come on the 25th of December and look for a place where he can rest. Jesus Christ, the small, helpless infant, relies completely on his mother Mary. She will find a place for her divine son to rest. She will place him there in the crib. And when we see him come as a small infant, that will be a complete contrast to how he will come in his second coming. In his first coming, he is revealing to himself his reliance upon our Blessed Mother, how he shrouds his divinity, his power, under the tiny helplessness of a little infant. And we have to prepare our hearts literally as Our Lady prepared the crib for him on that Christmas night. And so we should ask ourselves today as we begin the Advent season, how will he find my heart this Christmas when he comes? Is he going to find my heart prepared to receive him in Holy Communion? Will he find my heart a worthy resting place? Now, beginning now, is the time, my dear friends, during Advent, to make our hearts a worthy crib for the coming of our infant Savior. Use these next 4 weeks then to prepare. By removing any obstacles that may be in the way, perhaps it has been a long time since we have been to confession. And we are in need of going to the sacrament of penance. What a perfect opportunity to prepare for our Lord's coming. The practice of virtue also. The practice of virtue provides a perpetual preparation for the coming of our Lord's advent, because it is a continuous difficulty which everyone undergoes. In particular, the practice of the virtue of charity. Charity can be a very difficult virtue to practice. We were at home, we were with those who we know familiarly, those in the workplace. Maybe we never met someone before, but we practice the virtue of charity. That's strengthening what St. Paul referred to as the bond of perfection. And the more we practice that virtue, the more those chain links will be strengthened and that bond will be perfected. And then we will be preparing ourselves for our Lord's coming. Use the many opportunities throughout the day to practice. It will be difficult, no doubt. Remember, the more difficult something is to do, the greater will be the reward for us. And in this great work of preparation, let us not forget to ask Our Lady, the Mother of our Savior, for help. In her litany, we call upon her, saying, Mother of Christ, Mater Christi, the litany of Loretto. How often do we pray that litany? Not too often, maybe on the first Saturday. But we don't have to pray the litany to pray to her under this glorious invocation. Throughout the next 4 weeks, maybe make it a habit just to say that invocation, to call upon the Mother of God, Mother of Christ. And it will bring our, it will raise our minds to the goal. Why are we in the season of Advent? She will help us prepare our heart as she prepared the crib most perfectly on that first Christmas night. So let us then ask her for assistance in preparing so that when we do leave our pew to approach the communion rail at midnight Mass, Christmas morning Mass, we will be able to receive our Lord in Holy Communion, and in doing so, He will find a most worthy resting place. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.